doors, you kick down walls, and anyone who tells you you can't, you take your fears, your insecurities, your worries, you roll them all up into a ball, you turn those some bitches sideways and stick them straight up their candy ass.
Pick your goal and stick fucking to it, you wishy-washy motherfuckers. I can't fucking stand you.
I wanted to make sure that out of the 24 hours of the day, that I don't waste one single hour. Those hours were too precious. And so there I just want to tell people, don't give me this thing, I have a difficult time, I need the time, and I don't have time for this, and I don't have that. You have time. You make the time.
And now, welcome to the Be Informed Live Fit Podcast, sponsored by FitnessInformant.com. And he kill it while you sitting down, bitch, about how I triple my fan base, net worth, bitch. Can't say dad's worst, bitch. Do something, fuck it, I prove something, don't switch
up. So welcome inside the Be Informed Live Fit Podcast. I'm the host, FitnessInformant.com president, Ryan Buckeye. Here we are, episode one. We've been talking about this for a while. Those of you who follow us on social media or on our website, fitnessinformer.com, know that today is the inaugural episode, the first episode, or as the TV producers call the pilot episode of our podcast, Be Informed, Live Fit, featuring myself from Fitness Informant. We're going to bring Shane on from Stacked here in a little bit. And then our guest of the day, the one and only eight-time champion, Mr. Ronnie Coleman, will be the guest here later in the show. I'm stoked for you all to tune in, to check this out, whether it be on YouTube, iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, Podbean, or however you get your podcast. Really, what we want to do is every other week bring you a new podcast with a guest in which they're going to use their knowledge to educate all of us, including me, to become better versions of ourselves. What better way to start than eight-time Mr. Olympia champion, Ronnie Coleman? Ronnie's seen it all. He's been on stage. He's been a police officer. He's an accounting major with a college degree. So sitting down, chatting with Ronnie was really eye-opening for me, and it should be for you guys as well, because there's more to Mr. Coleman than just the eight-time champ that we saw on stage with the eight Sandows in his $12,000 case at his house. So really, really looking forward to having you all listen to that here in just a little bit. The episode, or the segment, was stacked each and every podcast is going to really be a rundown of the world of supplements, because Stacked is the number one online website for news when it comes to supplements. At Fitness Informant, we try to keep up with everything, but it's just me, and I really focus on the review section of the website. I focus on fitness content in terms of articles. Shane really focuses on really educating others on the supplement news, new flavors, new product launches, new brands, etc. So Shane will be on this show every time we have one, and he'll talk about a recap in terms of the big news and the big headlines in the world of sports nutrition. That'll be hugely educational for everybody listening, especially those of you looking for a new pre-workout, post-workout, etc. Don't just think that this show is confined to the Continental 48. Ronnie Coleman, for instance, is huge outside the United States. Shane is actually outside the United States as well, and there's a lot of supplement companies that live outside the United States. Sure, us here in the States really focus on what's going on here in the 48, 50 states that we have, but there's a lot of things going on internationally that is now trickling into our market here in the United States that we want to talk to you guys about as well. I don't want to take a long time here doing an opening. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm excited about this podcast. I'm excited about the opportunity to come at you guys every other week with some fitness education to really try to help enhance and better yourselves and myself through the world of education on health and fitness. Do us a huge favor and subscribe to this podcast. iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can actually watch the video content. For those watching now, you can actually see me. You'll actually see Ronnie Coleman, which will be awesome. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take just a tiny little break. Come back with Shane from Stacked, and we're going to talk about all the happenings in the world of sports nutrition and supplements. Looking for the best supplement news online? Then check out Stacked.com, STACK3D.com, for the most up-to-date, accurate sports nutrition news available today. All right, guys, welcome back inside the Be Informed Live Fit Podcast. Those of you watching on YouTube, across the screen or a split screen from us is the editor-in-chief, the man, really started sort of the news reporting side of the supplement industry. He is the runner of all runners behind Stack, Shane Smith. Dude, what's going on, buddy?
It's good to be here and good to be featured on the podcast. I mean, yeah, I think we should get straight into it. I got about a handful of stories
yeah.
to talk about. The biggest ones from May, to be honest. And I think we got to kick it off with Salicor entering the energy drink market with their C4 original on the go. That thing, it's they're marketing it as a pre-workout. I think a lot of people are kind of taking it as an energy drink, or we're sort of considering it as an energy drink. But they have gone with a little more than, you know, your typical energy drink formula. They got citrulline, beta-alanine, and tyrosine. It's a pretty interesting formula, but I think the big thing people are pointing out is that with Hyde coming into the market late last year and, you know, Salicor jumping in, Optimum doing a carbonated energy amino over in the UK, it's big news seeing another big brand essentially jumping in the market that Bang has dominated for so long.
I feel like Bang has been, obviously, Bang's the industry leader when it comes to this carbonated beverage in terms of sports nutrition. Now we're having Salicor, like you mentioned, Optum, America Labs is jumping in on this as well, I believe. And they market it as a pre-workout, but I think those of us who are educated enough know, like, if you actually put the ingredients from a pre-workout into a carbonated beverage, it's probably going to end up being sludge. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. Now, are they doing a fully disclosed label on this, or is it going to be another proprietary type blend? I'm assuming it's got to be a blend. Because
it's a blend. I mean, they only seem to be going full disclosure with the Ultimate series with the you know, the Super HD Ultimate. I think that might be fully disclosed, but their amino Ultimate is C4 Ultimate is. So it's not too surprising that it's not full transparency, but I think with energy drinks, as I've discussed with a lot of people, you know, they're not taking them for, you know, 3.2 grams of beta-alanine. They're not taking them for the clinical doses. They're just, it's an energy drink, on-the-go energy whenever they kind of need it.
Do we know how many flavors they're going to release?
Well, they launched it earlier this month. They kind of did a big pre-order and they launched it through their website. Other select retailers picked it up before their website. They got four flavors. I have yet to try it, unfortunately, but they're meant to be pretty damn good with frozen bombsicle, tropical blast, strawberry lemonade, and twisted limeade.
Okay, so they're launching with four different flavors, which is big. Salicor is a huge brand name. Obviously, I think it's going to sell itself. Is this something that they're going to look to get into, I guess, club-type stores too? I know they're huge, like, in the States and Costco's of the world. Are they just focusing on direct-to-retailers right now to do resale for them? Do you know?
As far as I know, it's kind of open to everyone. So I would think that anyone who is anyone probably gets it. If I remember correctly, before they kind of announced it, they said to me, you know, you might actually hear about it already being available from gyms and brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. So based on that, it's going to show up in as many places as I think they can get it.
And do we know what the SRP, like what's the retail price going to be on this compared to Bang, compared to Hyde and the others out there?
I'm not too sure on the individual price or how competitive they're going to sort of be with, you know, selling individual cans. But when they launched it with an intro deal on their site, it was about as low as $1.80.
Okay.
That was based on, I think, a special deal they had where it was get $10 off your first case, which was pretty good because I think it worked out to like $25, including shipping, for a whole case.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Which is not bad for online, I think.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think it's big. I mean, big brands are doing things in this space. It makes sense. It's a growing space. Even our addiction to caffeine, addiction to energy drinks, they're just taking advantage of it. And that's not just a United States thing. I think that's kind of like a broad thing. But one thing that's really interesting to me in the sports nutrition industry is how big our egos are and how big brands' egos are. But there's a story that you're going to tell us about here in which two companies put their egos to the side to do something to better for the rest of us.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago, it might even be in March when the first kind of word crept out, but Pitbull Labs, a very up-and-coming brand, you know, they're already competing in a lot of major categories, expanding into even more this year, and another brand by the name of Intel, who is extremely well-known for their pre-workout Arez, they've added a whole bunch of pre-workouts since kind of launching. And so those two brands have simply teamed up for a pre-workout that kind of combines both of their, I guess, personalities and characteristics, and they've combined to create what they're calling the ultimate pre-workout supplement, or the ultimate supplement. I'm not entirely certain on how many categories it's going to cover, but I do know that it's intended for pre-workout and a few other things. And the formula hasn't been released, but the name is Arez Pedigree. Arez being Intel's name, and Pedigree being the name of the new creatine that's coming soon from Pitbull.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting because I love Arez. I think it's my number one rated pre-workout over at our site. Pitbull Labs pre-workout is also another highly rated supplement that we've done. I love Landon. I love Sam, the owners of both respected companies. They're both, I think, trying to do the right thing for the industry. What are you expecting from this supplement?
I have actually heard from them a few times, just saying that, kind of getting the inkling that it's not what you expect. They're not going to be doing like, oh, you know, let's hit this hard with some gray market stims and high caffeine and blow everybody out of the water on the intensity side. From what I've heard, it's going to be different, which kind of leads me to believe that the fact that it's got Pedigree in the name, which is kind of Pedigree, which is the name of Pitbull's creatine that's yet to release, I think it might have been in, you know, bringing back clinical doses of creatine in a pre-workout and possibly even aminos. I don't actually know the extent, but I think that they're going to be sort of doing a different direction rather than, you know, more as in intensity and energy and stuff like that. But the formula should be revealed very soon, I believe.
Do you know, and the last question on this topic is, I know Arez has exclusivity with online retailers, and I believe Pitbull Labs is exclusive, maybe the subs.com. Is their new release, to your knowledge, going to be exclusive to any one retailer, or is this going to maybe be a direct to consumer from their respective websites?
That's actually a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I would think that they're definitely going to do direct to consumer.
For
sure. Just because it seems like a good way for them both to get, I guess, fair half and half out of each of it to be able to sell it direct. I would think it might just be direct, but I mean, at this point, it's going to be interesting to see regardless which way they go.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. And it's really cool because for anybody who's been following our social media channel at Fitness Informant, you've seen I've kind of teased out, I have bulk supplements, raw ingredient supplements that I've been posting pictures of, which actually pertains to the next topic we're going to talk about in terms of bulk caffeine and the issues surrounding trying to get your hands on bulk caffeine and what's going to happen with that now in the FDA putting their hands on this project as well. What do you know about the FDA regulation in terms of bulk caffeine and what's happening there?
Basically, they seem to have introduced, they have a good guidance and outline of this new sort of rule or regulation that they're bringing in. It's essentially based on their examples that they used were when it comes to buying caffeine, straight caffeine, and you're left, the consumers are left to measure these servings accurately. I mean, we're talking, you know, a single dose of caffeine and like pre-workouts, like 300 milligrams.
Right.
And so when you're left to measure that out, and in their example, they're talking, you know, bags of caffeine that have hundreds of servings. And consumers are left to, you know, accurately measure out, you know, 100 milligrams, 200 milligrams, 300 milligrams. And the issue that they seem to have is that if someone, you know, just scoops like, oh, this, I've had a scoop of creatine, I'll just do a scoop of this. The issue is that, you know, you do a scoop too much of caffeine or you just get it like a little bit wrong, you could wind up, you know, really, really in a bad situation. And
right,
that's kind of what they outlined. All the examples that I read that they were using just essentially talked about that, you know, big bulk caffeine products that you had to measure out some very accurate servings to get. They weren't talking about pre-workouts. They weren't talking about, you know, combinations with other ingredients. I think pre-workouts might not even be anywhere near on topic, because their point was that if you accidentally have too much of one scoop, you could hurt yourself. Whereas in a pre-workout, you know, caffeine makes up a very small amount of a pre-workout, you know, or the big ones over 10 grams in servings. So it just seems to be a big focus on, you know, the guys that are selling hundreds of servings. And in the announcement from the FDA, they did highlight a few warning letters that they sent out back in 2015 for smart powders, pure bulk, and bulk supplements. And I mean, that kind of gives you an idea of what they're trying to protect people from. I mean, I've never actually bought, you know, caffeine powder with hundreds of servings.
Right.
But by the sounds of things, you know, it's out there, and then they seem to find it as a problem. And I think they were one of the issues that they did also highlight was that two deaths had been linked to in the United States, had been linked to, you know, caffeine issues in the past few years or something. And, you know, any death, I guess, is worth acting on and, you know, helping solve the issue.
Right. No, I think you had a point. I mean, I was just on Smart Powders, and you can buy the capsules, which is going to be the cheapest version, or if you start getting up to the powdered version, it comes a little bit more expensive. But yeah, I doubt people buying these bags of caffeines. I'm not sure if they have an accurate scale at their house to measure it out precisely. To your point, they're probably taking a scoop of something, which, I mean, the highest I've seen in a pre-workout at this point is 600 milligrams, and I think you actually posted on this a while ago on a pre-workout that had 600 milligrams of caffeine per serving, which is insane to me, but could be dangerous for sure. Great stories. And what I want to cover too, and we'll talk about it later on down the road, is the FDA regulation on SARMs. It's a new topic that just hit this week. We don't know enough about it yet really to dive into it, but Shay and I will do our due diligence to find out more on that, because that does affect probably some of our listeners. If you use SARMs before or you've been looking into them, essentially they want to treat them like a steroid. So we'll get some more information on that. But dude, we got Ronnie Coleman coming up. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, man, I just saw him at FIBO in Germany, and you know he still brings in the lions, still draws in the crowds. Whenever I'm you know, even in the US or outside the US, he just still seems to be a big hit, and it's great to see sort of people appreciating you know, Ronnie and what he did. And he's also got that documentary coming out with the team behind Generation Iron, which that should be a great watch, I think, definitely.
Yeah, he's got a hell of a life. And then we got a chance to sit down and talk about it a little bit. He's got a supplement line too, Ronnie Coleman Signature Series.
Oh, yeah.
They got the Yeah Buddy now with Dynamine, so enhancing their pre-workout line, so which is huge in the international waters versus the America versus the States. So maybe it'll pick up here in the States a little bit more. But yeah, dude, appreciate you coming on. We'll do this every time. It'll be good stuff. Again, those of you listening, if you want up-to-date supplement news, don't come to our site. We don't have it. Shane's got it over at Stack. STACK3D.com. Posting numerous stuff every single day. Appreciate it, dude. Now we're going to get over to the champ, baby. The 8-time champion, the one and only, the king, Ronnie Coleman. What's up, guys? Ryan, FitnessInformer.com president here. Did you know that we work directly with Supps.com to offer you all a 5% discount on all of your supplement purchases? That's right. Visit Supps.com, use promo code INFORMANT, and save 5% off your entire order. All orders over $59 will ship for free. All right, guys, welcome back inside the Be Informed, Live Fit podcast, the inaugural episode. And stoked, excited, happy are all the words that describe how I feel right now, welcoming the 8-time Mr. Olympia champion, the one and only, the champ, Ronnie Coleman. What's going on, dude?
Oh, not too much. Just taking it easy these days.
Yeah? Well, I mean, I know you've been in and out of rehab, obviously had some surgeries. You look great. I mean, you look fantastic. How do you feel physically?
I'm hanging in there. I could be a lot better, but, you know, I just gotta, you know, take things as they are.
Yeah, right. And you don't strike me as the type of guy with a lot of patience in terms of, like, you want to feel better tomorrow. And the process, I bet, is probably just tearing at you, trying to get better.
Yeah. I just had surgery 6 weeks ago. I've had two back-to-back.
Sure.
And they're not doing well, so I'm going to try to hang in there a little bit.
You're right.
I have to have another one, look like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we
are. My 10th one. I've had 9.
9? Wow. Yeah. I mean, we obviously keep hoping for the best. And obviously, once you get some work and some rehab in, hopefully things start to turn for the better for you. But Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm excited to have you on. This is good. And so I want to let people know, because you've been on various podcasts, various video platforms, and it seems like a lot of people ask you the same questions over and over again. They want to know about the 8 Olympias. And here's the thing. I'm sure our listeners want to know that too, but I want to know a couple more things that are a little deeper than that. The Olympias are fantastic. It's sweet, but you've also have a ton of life experiences. And I got to ask you, how much money do you think that you costed the taxpayers back when you were a police officer in terms of getting custom tailored police uniforms? Because you were such a big dude.
Yeah, that's a good question. But I have no idea. But you know what? You know, the city has their own tailor, and I'm not the only guy that goes over there. We got a lot of big guys on the department. There's some real tall guys. Like, we got guys. One guy, he's probably 7'2".
Sure, wow.
Play football for the Chicago Bears. And then we got a lot of other guys that, you know, that don't work out that good, that much. So they kind of like overweight fat. So the city has their own tailor. So they just send a lot of guys over there just to get their own measurement done because, you know, a lot of us can't wear the stuff off the rack, you know. So
was it ever
a good thing for us guys? But I'm not the only guy that goes over there. I think there's quite a few guys that go over there, you know.
Sure. Were you always by far the biggest guy to get your custom tailored shirts, or were there guys who pushed you a little bit when you're in the force?
No. Trust me, I think there's this one guy on the department. He had to weigh about 500 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
My little 300 was nothing compared to what he was. And then, like I said, there's one guy. He's about 7'2". He used to play for the Chicago Bears, and he also goes over there. So we got quite a few guys, you know, that are, you know, large in other proportion areas.
Right. Well, it's interesting. It's interesting so that you.
Mine just happened to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting that, I mean, I'm not sure how many people actually know that you served on the police force. You actually competed in the Olympia while you were still on the police force. So you had a very busy life, and trying to keep a strict diet while you're inside of a squad car probably couldn't have been the easiest thing in the world for you.
Trying to adhere to a
strict diet, trying to eat as much as you could when you're on patrol. Did that become a challenge for you?
You asked me what it's actually pretty easy because I had a really good formula. I've been doing it for so many years.
Sure.
I was able to develop a formula over the years that worked pretty good. And so it was easy for me to eat and work and do all this stuff. At the same time, it was no problem whatsoever.
That's awesome. I got another question for you. And actually, this doesn't deal with bodybuilding or fitness whatsoever, but serving on the police force, obviously being a black male in the United States of America, and everything that's going on in the world, and specifically here in our country, in terms of police violence and people making, you know, splitting the country. And I think that you, since you served on the police force, you would have a very interesting perspective on this topic, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on what you think about the police brutality, specifically against the African Americans at this point.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say because everybody's different, you know. With me, I didn't have a lot of problems when I was on the force with any kind of brutality, any kind of, you know, discrimination or whatever, mm-hmm. But it seemed like once I left, you know, things kind of changed a lot. You know, I think things change over the years. It's kind of hard for me to say how, you know, this thing with racism is.
Right.
Because everybody's different, you know. I actually didn't know how bad things were until I actually left and saw what was going on over the world. So, you know, because where I'm from, we didn't have all those kind of problems. There wasn't a lot of racism like that, you know. But I guess, you know, every state is different, every city is different as far as that goes.
Yeah. And do you think to an extent that it's kind of always been there? It's just maybe with the adaptation of social media and how quickly news now can travel in our world that it amplifies it.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what it is, because there wasn't a whole lot of social media out there when I was there. So, you know, once I left, and you know, as the years went by, you know, the social media thing just got bigger and bigger. So you saw actually what was really going on.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's very interesting. Yeah. The dynamic social media plays obviously in our lives now, and specifically like in your life with the Ronnie Coleman Signature Series and social media in the supplement industry, and how one person put it great. There's a lot of fake people on Instagram who then will create a supplement company or a fitness-based company and sell false promises. You obviously are the face of an entire supplement line, a very good supplement line, let me tell you. But you're also not very active on social media yourself. I mean, is that by choice, or is it just something that you never really adapted that you enjoyed?
You know, I'm so busy. I got a family. You know, I got like 8 kids. I got a wife, and I'm more into that than I am the social media.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. That's a solid answer. Ronnie Coleman Signature Series is extremely popular overseas, outside the United States. I think you guys do more of your dollar volume outside the continental 48.
Exactly. Yeah.
Why do you think people outside of this country gravitate more towards the Ronnie Coleman brand than people within our country?
That's the way it's always been for bodybuilding. You know, bodybuilding has always been bigger outside of the United States than it has been inside, because of the drug culture than anything, you know. People international, they don't really care about, you know, steroids and all this kind of stuff. But people here, you know, that's all they care about is who's doing what and how they're doing it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think what's also interesting is obviously you're a franchise face in the sport of bodybuilding. And typically when a bodybuilder puts their face or their name on a supplement line, specifically here in the United States, the supplement lines themselves haven't been very well. And I love Arnold. I love Jay. But their lines aren't great. I mean, I will tell anybody in the world that their supplements were not even mediocre at best. Your line is very good, you know, and you guys have a new pre-workout coming out with Dynamine, which is a state-of-the-art ingredient from Compound Solutions. It's fantastic. Do you think it's hard for people in the United States to get over the stigma of a bodybuilder actually having a legit supplement line?
You know what? I don't really know what it is. I've never really done any studies. I never heard any studies done. So all I can tell you that, we pretty much concerned with who really wants the product, who's really buying the product. And that's basically all we're really concerned with. That's why we spend so much time with it overseas and to try to develop it as much as we possibly can overseas, because they're the one that's pretty much buying it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to be concerned with what's not working for you, and you think it's not going to work, then you spend most of your time with what's worked for you. And of course, you know, the overseas thing has always worked very good for us, so we concentrate more on that than was not really working.
Sure. And I think that's smart. That's a smart business decision. You haven't been on stage since, I believe, 2007 was your last Olympia, which is now 11 years from this podcast. How does Ronnie Coleman stay relevant 11 years later from the Olympia? Like, what type of activities are you doing to still be out in the community and be out in the bodybuilding realm of things, so people still know that you still love this, you're still highly involved with this?
I think what I've done in the past is really pretty much what keeps me relevant. You know, I've done things that other people haven't done. You know, you haven't seen too many bodybuilders, you know, be on Jay Leno. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen too many bodybuilders work a full-time job and be Mr. Olympia. You hadn't seen too many bodybuilders squat 800 for reps, 2,300 on the leg press for reps. deadlift 800 for reps, bench 500 and some for reps, and also 200 pound dumbbells for like 12, 13 reps. So
do that in your sleep.
My reputation pretty much succeeds itself and follows itself,
right?
And stays relevant that way. But I've done things that other guys haven't done and will never do.
That, I mean, no one's there. There are the guys who can never touch what you've done in fitness and bodybuilding. That's for sure. Eight Olympias. Let me ask you a question, because a lot of people that are competitors, myself included, I hate to lose more than I love to win. Are you the same way?
Yep, exactly the same way.
So when you lost your Olympia in 2000, or when did you lose to Jay? I can't remember the year. It was 2006.
'06.
To second place. Yeah. Were you crushed emotionally?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. In every way possible, I was crushed.
Well,
the worst thing I can say is the worst thing that ever happened to me, but it's really not.
Sure.
How I've had some worse things happen to me. So, it's probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because, you know, it was time for me to give that up and move on to the next stage of my life.
Is that really how it changed you in terms of maybe putting things into perspective for you on what was more important?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So now, you know, like I said, I got this great family and these great kids, great wife and all this kind of stuff that, a lot more fun than, you know, what I used to do.
I also want to clarify, did you say eight kids?
Yeah.
You did work, Ronnie.
I did a lot of work.
Yeah. Good for you.
Started when I was in college.
Sure. And what's the age, the age range of your kids?
See, 3 all the way up to 33.
Okay. So you got a 30 year span from the oldest to the youngest. So how's it having the 3-year-old in the house for you again? I mean, do you enjoy the young toddlers?
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's a lot of fun. She's quite the athlete herself.
Good.
She's pretty gifted, you know, and you know, I got 8-year-old and a 7-year-old that's pretty gifted too.
Any of the children love fitness, love bodybuilding, or are they in other sports?
They are in other sports. I got the 7 and 8-year-old. They are like in figure skating.
Okay.
Of course, the 3 and the 4, they're kind of like finding their way. They haven't really got off into what they need to do yet. And then, I got my older kids. They're pretty much in the working. And I got my middle kids. They're like doing gymnastics and stuff like that. So, you know, everybody got their own thing that they do.
Yeah. So keeps you busy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Keeps me real busy.
I think I want to go back to the Olympia question here. And this is one I'm not sure if you've been asked a lot. But so you won 8 Olympias. And I think many people might assume that the hardest person that maybe you went against was Jay, because he had beaten you. However, I don't necessarily know if that's the case. I'm sure in those 8 years that you won Mr. Olympia, you went up against some pretty fierce competition. You just happened to be better. Who would you say was the toughest or the most difficult competitor that you stepped on stage with at the Olympia?
Myself.
That's a solid answer.
It was always a struggle for me to get in shape and stay in shape and maintain my motivation. So I never really, you know, consider competition. I was up against, always considered the getting in shape, staying in shape, staying motivated, and trying to take things to another level was the hardest thing that I ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, ever, really thought about the competition. I always thought about how am I going to, you know, stay motivated enough to keep myself in the number one spot. What am I going to do to keep myself in the number one spot? That's what I was always thinking about. You know, how can I improve from last year? How can I get better? Those were always the hardest thing for me to go up against.
What motivates you? What motivated Ronnie Coleman to be the best in the world?
I've always had this burning desire to be the very best at whatever it was I was doing. Even when I was in college, you know, I was always trying to be the best football player, you know, until I finally made it to the number one spot. I was always trying to be the best student until I finally made it, you know, got my degree and graduated with honors in accounting. it's just always just trying to be the best at whatever it was that I was doing.
You mentioned something that I think a lot of people probably don't know. You went to college. You graduated with a degree in accounting. But I think what a lot of people will do when they look at professional athletes is they just assume that as a professional athlete, you're not the brightest bulb on the tree, right? Like a lot of people will say they can't be that smart, but you graduated with a degree. You're a part of a business post-athletic career. So what did you do, or how did you set up your life and your career to be successful post-bodybuilding? Could you attribute some of that to the college education, or is it just some of the steps you made along the way?
I got to say some of the steps I made along the way, because like I said, I was always trying to be the best at whatever it was I was doing. Even when I worked for the police department full-time, I was always trying to be the best there, you know. I was rookie of the year. I was trying to get officer of the year all the time, trying to do stuff, trying to stay relevant, trying to stay motivated, trying to have fun doing what I was doing. And for the most part, you know, it all worked out. And all those things were what made me happy.
How'd you go from an accounting major, so like from a CPA type of career, to a police officer, completely opposite side of the spectrum?
That was real easy because I tried everything in my power to get on at all these accounting firms and nobody would never hire me. So I finally gave up and said, time to move on to somebody that's going to hire me. And the police department was the first people that hired me.
When you walked into the police department for a job, what'd you weigh?
I weighed 215.
So you were small. You were small, Ronnie Coleman, when you first got a job in the police department. How much time did you spend on the department?
I was there about 15 years. So 15 years.
So these guys and gals on the squad literally saw you go from a child at 215, which is still huge to the rest of us. Like, I'm 205, so 215 would be fantastic for me. But from 215 to what was the heaviest you were when you were on the force?
325.
Jesus Christ, 110 pounds difference. I mean, it's just, they got to see this transformation. Like, what were some of the things that your coworkers were saying to you? I mean, were they mesmerized by your transformation?
They never said not one word to me about it.
Nothing.
I guess because, you know, all this happened over time. You know, this 15 years we're talking about. We're not talking about something that happened.
Right.
I went from 215 to 315. This took 15 years to get there. So, you know.
I think that's
they also gain weight.
Yeah, probably not in the way that you did in terms of that. But I think you just said something that's very important. In 15-year span, it took you to gain that much weight. And so many people are out today that I speak to through our website. They want a quick fix. What pill can I take to help me lose 20 pounds? Or what supplement should I take to do this? And my answer to them first is A, start in the kitchen. B, commit yourself to a workout routine or some sort of exercise before you start using supplements.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who comes to you and says, Ronnie, I want to be like you. I want to be big and strong like you.
Get a personal trainer, because that's pretty much who got me to where I am. Brian Dawson taught me everything just about I know. And when he ran out of, you know, stuff that he could teach me, I switched over to Chad Nichols, and he just took me to the next level. So I would tell people, get a personal trainer. Get somebody who's fully knowledgeable about what it is you're trying to do, what it is you're trying to be, or whatever.
What do you think?
My advice to everybody.
What's your thought? And I think I know your answer, but what's your thoughts on a lot of gyms that commercialize gyms? You walk into personal trainers at those gyms at times look like they've never themselves touched a weight. What's your thoughts on a personal trainer not practicing what they preach?
Stay far away from them as you possibly can.
Yeah. I mean, I say the same thing all the time. And people will say, well, they can be book smart. They might know the exercises. Well, if they're not dedicated enough to do it themselves, then I'm not going to give them my money to do it for me. So, all right. So this year, Phil Heath steps on stage in September for potentially his 8th Sandow. Now, I know your status on today's bodybuilding. I totally get it. So we're not going to ask that question. But if Phil gets 8, is he considered one of the best of all time?
You know what? I always leave that to people, for people to decide. That's not really up for me to decide, because I'm part of the sport. I'm in the sport. Mm-hmm. So I've always left that up to them.
How much of the business of the sport is pageantry and politics versus the hard work aspect?
I think it's all about hard work. I don't think pageantry and politics has a whole lot to do with it.
Sure.
If you're not working hard and trying your best to be your best, then you don't have a shot.
Has there been times where you've been on stage and, I mean, you every time you walk on stage, you damn near win every time. But I'm saying, like, or have you seen an event where some guy or gal obviously had the best physique, the best in shape, but their posing routine caused them a top five finish?
No, I haven't seen that.
Really? Okay, that's interesting. I mean, you're obviously on a different level, professional level, than a lot of people. But I mean, I've seen from times where, you know, somebody looks obviously the best, but they finish second or third, and then you always wonder, you know, what exactly the judges look for. Even today, like, I've seen so many bodybuilding shows, and I still at sometimes don't necessarily know what the judges are looking for. How did you learn that process in terms of what the judges are actually looking for in terms of muscle symmetry, et cetera? How hard or difficult was that for you to learn, and how long did it take you to learn?
You know what? I never learned that process. You know what I did? I always went in the gym and worked my butt off and tried my very best to be the very best that I possibly could until they put me there.
And you got put there 8 years in a row, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Where are all those Sandows now?
Actually, they're all in the trophy case over right around the corner.
That's awesome. I'm surprised you could find a trophy case big enough to house all your medal.
Yeah, I made this one. It cost me $12,000.
What's Ronnie Coleman like to do for fun these days? Not the gym. If we took the gym and the family, let's take the family and the gym out of the picture. What other hobbies does Ronnie Coleman have these days?
I don't really have any hobbies outside my family and the gym. That's my life for me. Basically,
that's beautiful. You know,
that's nothing else. I try to go fishing every chance I get because when I was a kid, I used to go every single day. And as I got older, you know, I couldn't go anymore. But every chance I get now, I try to go fishing every single chance I get.
You take the kids with you?
No. That's the last thing there.
Yeah, sure. That's what I did when I was a kid. But yeah, nowadays, so.
Household is interested in fishing.
I see. For those watching on YouTube or on Facebook right now, can see that Ronnie's got a Dallas Mavericks shirt on. You live down, you're in Dallas, right?
Yeah. I've been a Mavericks fan for, 18 years now. I've had season tickets for that long.
And I'm actually a Miami Heat fan. So the year we beat you in the finals, I was excited. And the year that you guys beat us in the finals, I was down and depressed. So are you a Cowboys fan?
They're okay.
Do you like any of the Texas teams, Houston?
No, not really. I'm just a football fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you played football in college, so that's got to be something that was super hard for you to kind of walk away from. Being the best at that, and I know if you're really good at something, moving on to something else isn't easy.
Very hard for me to walk away from, but, you know, I didn't get drafted, and so I said, okay, at least I got this degree.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the head injuries in football these days?
You know what, hey, if it's what you like doing and it's what you enjoy doing, everything comes with a price, you know. Look at, I've had, nine surgeries so far.
Mm-hmm.
From me working out and lifting all these years. So I don't really care.
Yeah. I think
doing.
There's a study that I read where I think a bunch of people were asked, if you took X to obtain your dream, but it would take X amount of years off your life, would you do it? And I think practically everybody said they would do it. So whether it be head injuries in football, drug use and sports, whatever it might be, I mean, we have this culture of it's bad, but if it comes down to our personal decisions, most people are going to do it if they can get what they want.
Exactly. And you can count me right in there with them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think people know this, but like, you're actually really involved with your supplement line. You're very involved with the Ronnie Coleman Signature Series, both overseas. Were you in Germany for FIBO?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a long plane ride for you, for a guy who just had surgery on his back. I mean, so you are highly involved on the brand.
Oh yeah. I started this company myself back in 2011. So yeah, about everything that it's about, I'm about.
Yeah.
and whatever it takes to make it successful, that's what I'm willing to do.
How excited are you about your new Yeah Buddy pre-workout?
Very, very excited about it. But you ain't going to believe this, but I'm going to have to cut you off because I got to go pick up these kids.
Hey, you know what? If you had told me you're going to pick up your kids or go fishing or just take time for yourself, I wouldn't have cared. I just appreciate you coming on, spending time with us. Obviously, guys and gals, this is the man, the legend, Ronnie Coleman. Ronnie Coleman Signature Series. Brand new Yeah Buddies out. Ronnie, I appreciate you coming on. Seriously, you look great. Keep it up, and I hope you get even better as we keep going on. All right, guys, that'll be it for this week's episode of the Be Informed, Live Fit podcast. I just want to thank each and every single one of you all for tuning in, whether it be on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or watching us on YouTube or Facebook. So do us a huge favor. Visit our official website, fitnessinformant.com. We have huge supplement deals, fantastic in-depth, no bullshit supplement reviews, and a bunch more. And as always, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/fitnessinformant. We're on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram as well. Next episode will feature CEO of Cage Muscle Supplements, the one and only Chris Gethin. That'll come back at you in 2 weeks. Every other week, a guest is going to appear on this podcast to help educate all of us. And in 2 weeks, Mr. Chris Gethin. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon. Be informed, live fit.